where strategy gaming meets good vibes. No stress, just critical moves. Welcome back to the Critical Moves podcast. I'm Al, and today I'm joined by my best pal from across the pond. It's Joe.
How's it going, Al?
I'm like a kid at a candy store.
Good.
The Warhammer Skulls event started yesterday, I've been at work. I've not had the chance to look yet, but I can't wait to see what's on offer. Have you had a chance to look yet?
No, I haven't. I'm really hoping that there's some good Captains, Lords, DLCs for Total Warhammer 3 to pick up. I don't know what I'm missing. I haven't looked in a while, but whatever I'm missing, if it's on sale, I'll probably pick it up now.
So you know how in the actual Warhammer hobby they have piles of shame? You've heard of this concept. I have a Steam library of shame. You know, when I look at a sale, I'm like, oh, I really fancy that one. I've got it already. Oh, what about that? I've got that one already as well. Habitual buyer and non-player. It's the reason why I'm not a millionaire, because I spend all my money on games that I don't play.
Same. I don't know if you've played Rogue Trader, but when Rogue Trader came out, I looked at it and I was like, I have to have it. I have to. And I bought it full price. I don't pay full price for anything. Played 15 minutes and said, I need to cook. And I've never touched it again. To my eternal shame.
It's really good. It is. It's really good. So give it another shot.
But I will.
The reason I wanted to get you on is because of, you know, ignoring the rest of the rabble that call themselves critical movers. You and I are the biggest Warhammer nerds on the channel. I think that's fair to say. And I wanted to have a conversation with you about the Warhammer IP, how it is perfect for strategy gaming, and how Games Workshop have done with the whole translation from tabletop to video games.
Sound I can't fair? Wait. Yeah. Let's get into this.
All right. So I like getting into things. What was your first experience with Warhammer? What was your first exposure to the universe?
So my first game I ever played, it was a game. I've never been, except for we have this thing called Hobby Town in my country, and that's where you could get the Warhammer miniatures. And I would go in there and say, those look awesome. I need one. And my mom would say, you're crazy. I'm not getting those for you. And my dad would be like, sure, and just get it. And then I would play for it for a minute and put it away. So that was my first, you know, getting to know those. But honestly, I played this game called Shadow of the Horned Rat on PlayStation. Mm-hmm. That I didn't even know it was a Warhammer game, really. But I loved that game. I played it so much. I never beat the final battle to... I'm still ashamed of that. But I did love that game. So did you play that one?
No. And
you're missing out.
No. I have it. there's going to be a theme here, because I have it. In fact, I may even have two copies of the big box version of Shadow of the Horned Rat.
Nice.
A long time ago, I'm talking, I don't know. When I say a long time ago,
yeah,
5-10 years ago, I went through a phase of rebuying big box games, of old RTS games, and I'm sure I've got two. And there may even be collector's editions as well.
Man, to me, those are valuable. I don't know if the world agrees, but to me, that's worth something.
I'll check. And if I've got two, I'll send you one.
Let's call it a late birthday gift then.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, buddy. I'm excited about it.
So that was your first exposure to Warhammer gaming.
Yeah, and that game was really fun. It had a unique thing where you only had so many reinforcements you could bring in. And so if you were particularly poor, you could still win. But in the future, you may end up losing because you just couldn't reinforce all your troops. And it feels, looking back on Warhammer, it feels very Warhammer how... Yeah, you can win, but in the end, you're losing. That feels something that goes in well with the vibe of the world. And so I really like that part of it. And you had to choose. It had like a branching path, and you had to choose some missions. And sometimes you couldn't play every mission, and some missions you would get certain troops you could add to your little army, your mercenary group. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed that game. I would totally play a new one. What about you? What was your first?
My first exposure to Warhammer.
Yeah, or first game.
Was I actually... I'll show you this because this is a relic.
Whoa!
Can you see it? I know that
it's kind of blocked. There it goes. That thing's cool.
Warhammer 40,000 Rogue Trader. This is the first edition of Warhammer 40K.
Wow!
And I bought this in, I don't know, maybe 1989, something like that, for $11.99.
That was a lot of money then, too.
£11.99 from, my eyes aren't up so much, from it was actually from my local friendly game store. So that was my, it was a guy at school introduced me to it. He was like, have you heard of Space Marines? I says, what are you talking about, Willis? Mm-hmm. What are you smoking? And he said, oh, well, I'll show you. The next day he brought in these little figures, and I was like, this is amazing. And I just absolutely just fell in love with it. But I was very, very poor as a child. So we used to play them. We used to play with cardboard tokens instead of miniatures. You know? So I was always interested in Warhammer. I was always interested in the lore. I think it's such a fascinating universe. If I had to say, I was very aware of the turn-based games that came out for Warhammer 40K, and I've always been science fiction over fantasy. That's just my cup of tea. And I'll always remember the first games that came out, like Space Crusade, which was almost like a direct lift of the board game. That was in 1992. There's been so many games, and I guess what I wanted to talk to you about was something that you mentioned about it was so Warhammer, is how easily or how obvious it is to translate a tabletop turn-based game into a turn-based video game.
Yeah.
It's almost the perfect setup, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's a natural fit the way some of the Warhammer games can slide right into the turn-based, depending on how good the developers are, of course. But
yes, and that as we shall discover as we go on with this is a very, very crucial point. How good the developers are. But this is a game system that was made for strategy games. The rules, the tone, as you mentioned, Shadow of the Horned Rat was very Warhammer. You know, the factions. If you look at 40K, I couldn't count how many individual factions there are. You know, and they're all balanced. You know, there's no, as much as the Imperium of Man is this huge central faction to the series. The armies are balanced. Orcs versus Space Marines versus Imperial Guard versus Eldari, or Eldar, as ordinary people call them. They were balanced for the tabletop, which means that the translation into video games, they're already balanced. The system is perfect.
Yeah, it makes sense too, because they have the tabletop rules, and so you just translate them right in, as long as the rules work. That's one thing that they've had some trouble with moving to the future with Total Warhammer is not everything translates perfectly, but it's not bad. It's really pretty good. I was thinking while you were talking, do you have a favorite faction yourself?
I like them all. Except for the Tau. I like them all. And the Orcs. Okay.
You don't like the Orcs?
I'm xenophobic.
You only like white people.
Hey, I only like human people. Be very careful what I say, you know. So I was aware of all of these turn-based games that came out. The first game that I remember playing was Space Hulk Vengeance of the Blood Angels on the PS1.
Nice.
That was like probably 1995. It was a first-person shooter, but a very slow, very atmospheric, very 40K first-person shooter. That was probably the first 40K game I played.
Now, I never caught that one, but thinking of following Reddit and all of those video game type forums, Space Hulk is notorious, isn't it? It's a notorious game that had a pretty wide following.
Yeah, the first thing that Games Workshop did was they released Space Crusade, and then they released Space Hulk. This was 92 and 93. Sounds like I know what I'm talking about, right? And these were almost direct lifts from the board game to video games. It was almost as if you were just playing the board game but on a screen. And Space Hulks have always been something quite important to the lore in terms of the way that they work. But they're also a very, very good setting for this kind of claustrophobic experience, which is why it was suitable for an FPS. But the first game that I really got into, strategy game-wise, is one which I would love to see them remake or release a sequel to, and that was Dawn of War.
I played that one just a little bit. I liked it, what I played, but it was one that I wasn't able to finish, unfortunately.
And I guess it wasn't to everybody's taste, you know. It was a traditional RTS, mm-hmm. But it was squad based, and I guess that wasn't something which was. I'll tell you who did do it. It was done with Company of Heroes. It's very, very similar, but it was the same developer. Yeah. Some people would say that Dawn of War was Company of Heroes in space.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, the reason why I didn't do it is because I played Warcraft first, and even though they're notorious for maybe possibly getting some ideas from Games Workshop, Warcraft, I played that first, and I really liked that one, and then I played Dawn of War, and I just, you know, it just didn't catch with me like the Warcraft one did.
Yeah, and I guess part of the reason why Dawn of War was so appealing to me was because Warhammer 40K was so appealing to me. Mm-hmm. So I was fully immersed in the lore. I understood Librarians, Chaos, Space Marines, Eldar, Orcs, the Warp. Everything they were talking about, all of the different elements of the story, which is hammy as fuck as well. It was perfectly Warhammer in terms of where it was aimed. Everything that was in that game, I knew it. I'd lived it. I'd read books about it. I'd read rules about it. I'd watched everything that I possibly could about this particular setting. So to be able to then actually play as Space Marines for the princely sum of £20 or whatever it was for mm-hmm. the game, rather than £500 or more, to be able to construct a force to be able to play on the tabletop was just so appealing to me. You know, I've never been very artistic. I couldn't paint. When I did actually get the models, when I actually did have a few pennies, so to be able to play it was just wonderful.
That's the big positive about the video game experience with these things too, is because you mentioned how expensive it is to build your tabletop army, and what if you go that day and you're like, I don't know what to pick. What do I get? And it's like orcs or greenskins on sale for 25% off. And you're like, there it is, greenskins. And then you get home and you're like, dang it, I only like humans. What am I going to do now? I spent all this money.
I only like white people.
I spent all this money. Whereas in the games now, you can do it and you can say, it's fine. I'll just restart.
I guess that takes us neatly into our next topic of conversation. Does this, the move by Games Workshop into the gaming world, into the video gaming world, does that make the actual hobby more accessible to others?
I think so, especially for Warhammer Fantasy, at least. Total War Warhammer, I think, has made... Maybe I'm just thinking of it as someone who didn't know the Warhammer all that well before Total War Warhammer, but I just feel like it has really put it into modern culture much more than it ever was, at least for video game people. I'm sure there's so many people that picked it up just like me. I knew some, right? But I only knew what I saw from Shadow of the Horned Rat. And now I like the greenskins, so I know almost all the greenskin generals. I know a bunch of dwarf generals. I know all the chaos gods. You know, I picked up all that from Warhammer Fantasy. And I think the video games have been huge for Games Workshop, at least those ones. They failed in some other aspects, but I feel like Total War Warhammer has been amazing for them.
Yeah. I think it was a rounded success, not just for Games Workshop, but also for Creative Assembly as well. I think that their historical titles were losing a bit of traction. And I'm fairly certain Warhammer 3 has been the most successful of the Total War games in terms of sales numbers, bigger than any of the other games. You know, so it was a coup for Creative Assembly to get hold of the IP. And I'm going to come back to IP in a moment, because I want to just change tack and go back to Dawn of War. So you played the first one. Did you play the second one as well?
Are there three Dawn of Wars?
There's three, but we don't talk about number three, but there are three.
Yeah, I've heard that the third one is the one everybody hates, right? Let me see here. I have both of the games. Dawn of War, I have played Dawn of War 2. I have played just a little bit of Dawn of War. I did play a little bit of Dawn of War 2. I like Dawn of War 2, actually. I played through a couple of missions, and I remember specifically thinking with that one, this is awesome, but I just got hired for a new job on Football Manager. I'm going to jump back to that real quick. And then I needed the space and uninstalled it. So that's going to be one of the ones I come back to, because I really did enjoy Dawn of War 2.
So that's quite interesting, because the first Dawn of War in 2004 was a huge success. It fell within the golden age of RTS games. You know, 2004 was a great year for games in the real-time strategy arena. And then when they said they were making a sequel, everyone was so excited about the sequel. I mean, they released expansion packs, which also did very, very well for Dawn of War. Mm-hmm. Then when they said we're making Dawn of War 2, people were over the moon, can't with more of the same. And they changed it so much, so intrinsically, it just wasn't the same game. Whereas Dawn of War was very much a traditional RTS game with base building, with resource management. Dawn of War 2 followed a more, it was almost RPG like in its presentation.
You had your hero you followed.
Yeah, your hero you followed. You couldn't requisition more squads. You just had what the game gave you. You managed with them. Of course you could amend them. You collect items and upgrade armor and give your different heroes different weapons to who were leading those squads and things like that. But it moved so far away from Dawn of War, the first one, that it was unrecognizable, and there was fury. And I love the fact that you enjoyed it, because it was so bad in terms of reception.
Well, which one did you like better?
Dawn of War, the first one. I loved
the first
it.
One?
I mean, I'm going to come back to you with my playtime on Steam for Dawn of War.
While you're looking that up, I'm going to just say maybe I'm going to have a little more time in the next couple months. Maybe I'll jump into Dawn of War, and then I'll do a Dawn of War review podcast that no one will care about and see what I think coming back to it 20 years later. Because didn't you say it came out in 2004?
Yeah, that'd it was 2004, fun. Yeah. Steam only shows I played 55 hours of Dawn of War. See, this is because I'm old.
You're full of stuff, I dude. It. You barely played it.
I had it on disc. I had it on DVD. I bet I've still got it, because I kept a lot of old games. I've still got it. Of course, I won't be able to have a look at the disc to see how many times it's spun, but I bet it's it's into the multi-hundreds. Definitely. It's just such a fantastic game. Dawn of War 2, not very well received. I love that you enjoyed it, and it's made me. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to play Dawn of War 2. You play Dawn of War 1, I'll play Dawn of War 2.
And then we'll talk about it. I love it.
Yeah. But Dawn of War 3, Relic were like, Dawn of War 1 was great, Dawn of War 2, we really like it, but it wasn't well received. Let's try and merge them and do something which fits everything. And by failing to focus on one aspect, they did really badly. The game was a complete flop, and it eventually, and very, very quickly, they pulled support for it, and that was it. Dawn of War 3 was released in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And we've never seen anything since.
Did you play it?
Yeah.
And you hated it?
I didn't hate it, but it's... I have this thing where I talk about great game, bad sequel.
Yeah.
And Dawn of War 3, maybe taken in isolation or taken in exclusion, is probably quite good.
Yeah.
Dawn of War 3 probably is. But when compared to the previous titles, it's bad. And I still have it. I've not played very much of it because it just didn't feel like Dawn of War to me.
What do you think it was?
Exactly that. They tried to... I think that they appreciated it. And they probably had a lot of foresight in terms of the way they were going. They knew that the old school traditional RTS games were not as popular. They'd seen MOBAs, they'd seen Battle Royales, they'd seen all these different game modes, which were much more profitable. And I think they've with Dawn of War 2, certainly they tried to move to a more action-orientated RPG, you know, set up where you're following the journey of a character with his supporting cast rather than it being this broad strategic experience. And I think with Dawn of War 3, they were like, we need to get back those people who enjoyed Dawn of War 1, so let's give them some base building.
Yeah.
But maintain the core of Dawn of War 2. And it just fell on its ass. You know, they tried to do too much rather than focusing on one method, and the result is it was a disaster and it was pulled. And I think that's why we've never seen another one.
Yeah.
But there is hope.
Well, how similar would the Battle Sector game be to the Dawn of War games? Have you played that one?
I did, and I really enjoyed Battle Sector. Battle Sector is turn-based.
Yeah.
Dawn of War is real-time.
Oh, yeah.
So,
okay.
So it's a very different experience. I've always been Tim and I are both more RTS than anything else. I've always preferred real-time strategy games over turn-based games. But I did enjoy Battle Sector.
I'm probably closer to... I like them both, but I probably like turn-based a little better.
What I'd like to do is, after this, I'm going to check the Warhammer Skulls sale, and I'll see whether the DLCs for Battle Sector are on sale. I bet they are. And if they are, I'll look to get them picked up, and I'll revisit that one. Because I played it a lot when it first came out.
Yeah.
I want to say a lot. I mean, I played through the campaign a few times just to... I like that. Maybe I'm a creature of habit. I like to repeat things. Is it OCD? Who knows?
Yeah.
You know. But I did really enjoy Battle Sector. It's quite interesting, I think, that we've never seen another RTS after Dawn of War 3. We've never seen another RTS. And is it because the tabletop game is better suited to turn-based than it is to RTS?
I would say yes, because when you're playing your tabletop game, that's basically what you're doing, aren't you? You're each taking a turn. I've never done a tabletop.
Yeah.
It seems like a more natural progression, whereas RTS, it would almost lend itself better to if you wanted to make a game off of a movie where everything's happening at the same time, rather than a tabletop game, I would think. I mean, RTS games, of course, are cool, but if you think about it, when you do a tabletop game, you don't build a base, right? Isn't the base already built? You have your spot on the map and you have your army and you fight.
For the tabletop, you don't have a base. There's no base building. You have...
That's what I mean. You just have a map.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's more, I guess, a tactics game than it is a strategy game. You know, you have a set points. You build your army within that particular points limit. You have the full range from the army book to choose from. And then you... set up your models, your opponent sets up their models, and you take it in turns to achieve victory points or to annihilate the enemy, depending upon how you're feeling that particular Thursday afternoon.
Do they have it in the maps where you can capture points and then maybe you get reinforcements or something like that?
There's been... I think we're now onto Warhammer... if we're talking about Warhammer 40K, because much like I don't like space wizards, I don't like wizards in general, so I've always been more of a science fiction fan and the Warhammer 40k, maybe because of the grim darkness. Suits my personality. It's always been something which I've enjoyed more than fairies on horses and hobbits and things like that. So I think we're now up to the 10th edition of the game. I played Rogue Trader. I played the first edition. I played second edition, and then maybe fourth or fifth. And then life took hold. I had to, you know, pay for kids and cars and houses and bills, and
I know how that is.
The tabletop game is a game for people with disposable income. You know, you should check out Poor Hammer. Poor Hammer. So there's a podcast. I'll link it to this episode. They are really good about, you know, how you can play Warhammer for cheap. Certainly worth a listen when you're not listening to Critical Moves, of course, listeners, right?
Yeah. Who's got time for a different podcast? No.
Not me. So I want to go back to one of the things you mentioned before, which was about the IP, the intellectual property. And I think this was in relation to the Warhammer Total War games, wasn't it?
Yeah.
If I'm being too harsh here, then just tell me. But are Games Workshop not just absolute whores?
Yeah, but doesn't it feel like they're not doing enough? They could do so much more. I agree with you, but
they're not doing enough good games. And I think that one of my major issues I have with Games Workshop and the video games is that for every Dawn of War, you get five games which are shit. Because they peddle out the IP to anybody with a half-baked idea and a couple of pennies to rub together. We've seen card games. There's loads of mobile games as well. I think that the quality has not always been there. And occasionally you get this diamond in the rough. But a lot of them are poor. Not Poor Hammer. Well, a lot of them are Poor Hammer. A lot of them are poor. They're not very good. And if I do a quick count, just off of 40K,
okay,
there's been 19 turn-based strategy games. For Dawn of War, for RTS, you've got the three Dawn of War. All of them had expansion packs. You know, Battlefleet Gothic is, I guess, a bit of an RTS. 8 first-person shooters, 5 action-adventure games, role-playing games. You know, there's
a grand strategy.
Is that Gladius?
Yeah.
And I just think that, you know, have they damaged people's opinions of Warhammer video games by the amount of shite that they roll out alongside the occasional good one? You know, there's a saying, you know, if you sling enough shit at the wall, some of it will stick.
Yeah.
Is that their strategy for their video games?
It sure seems to be, whereas there's lots of other places that'll only do it if they know they're getting a good game. That's not really what they seem to be doing. They're, like you said, I was thinking actually where they're not doing enough is everything but video games, is what I was thinking. Because what can you point me to the Warhammer television show or movie?
Not yet.
The handsomest man in the world had to decide he liked Warhammer and talk about it a bunch for years, and then they decided to finally make a movie.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, there have been. I mean, if you go to Warhammer Plus, has a lot of TV shows. There was an Ultramarines movie, so there have been some. Did you watch on Amazon Prime, did you watch Secret Level? It's like a series of video game titles rendered into animated episodes. Mm-mm. So so you know Space Marine 2, the game from Saber Interactive, the third person shooter, which is done amazingly well for Games Workshop. It's one of the best games that they've released. Lieutenant Titus, who is the main character from that game, he appears in this animated short stories, maybe 15 minutes long. If you have Amazon Prime, it's worth having a look at Secret Level.
I will.
There's lots of other games mentioned in there, but watch it might be called They Shall Know No Fear or something like that. I'd have to have a look. it's worth a watch. It's really well done. And I think that was Amazon testing the water, because they signed the deal in December 2024. They confirmed, right, we are going ahead with this. You know, we've agreed the terms. We're going to go ahead with the TV and movie adaptations of the Warhammer 40K universe. And as you know, because I told you earlier, grimdarkfuture.tv is my website, all about what we can expect to see as part of the Amazon show. I'll link that in the description as well for those who may be interested. The Games Workshop games, the Warhammer universe, has always been seen as very niche, very you know, very beardy, you know, like a very
that was really funny.
Beardy.
No, but I knew exactly what you meant. I knew.
You knew what I meant by that.
Yes,
yeah.
I didn't have to hear.
You know, I mean, we both have beards, so we're allowed to say that. You know, you know, lots of sweaty old men standing around looking at 40 mil high models of superhuman soldiers. You know, it's Henry Cavill, with his involvement, he's brought it into the mainstream with games like Space Marine 2. It's been brought into the mainstream, you know, with games like Dawn of War, which sadly the series has gone nowhere since 2017, as we mentioned, but it's brought this universe into the mainstream. And this TV and movies that they're doing, I think that's going to, if they do it right,
and Amazon, if it's good,
has the money to do it right. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's going to make it more mainstream, which, of course, the gatekeepers of the hobby hate that 40K is going to be mainstream.
I don't like that. I always get so annoyed when they talk like that. Like, they're going to ruin it. It's like, well, if you don't like what they do, hold on to what you like that they did, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah, yeah. But of course, the issue is canon. And, you know, I think that we found this when we did the the Zero Company episode. Canon is very important to fans. It's very very important to fandoms. And if the TV and movies that Games Workshop release becomes canon, and I have a feeling it will, that of course changes the way that things are. It changes the setup. There was such fury around female custodians. They can't be Space Marines. Well, they're not. They're custodians. It's it's different. You know, they should all be men. You know, the law states that only men have the physiology to be able to become Space Marines. And the uproar, you know, games, you know, I'm finished with Games Workshop. All because they're saying, let's try and make this. And I'm no bleeding heart. I'm not like a DEI hire or anything like that. You know, despite what you say, I do not just like white people. I like black people and brown people and Asian people and all people. But the outrage when they said there's going to be a female custodians was palpable. You could feel it coming over. You know, it just washed over in waves. Just the rage coming out of the screen from all these beardy people.
Well, do you remember when Star Wars did it? And they, I don't know if, I know you don't love Star Wars as much as Nuno and I do, but
I do.
Okay, you don't like Jedi. Excuse
me. I don't like Jedi. You know, I love Star Wars.
Well, they invalidated all of their old books. You know, all of that is no longer canon. That's all, they call it legends now. And
I hate that.
Yeah. And so I understand what you're saying there, that if they do invalidate a bunch of things, there will be quite a few people that used to stand in line for 6 hours for a new miniature that are going to be really mad at them.
I'm just going to pick you up on this, all right? Because, you know, don't besmirch my love of Star Wars Legends. You know, because Timothy Zahn, the Thrawn trilogy,
those books are awesome.
You know, absolutely incredible. I've got them somewhere as well. You know,
me too.
I'm 47 years old. I have so much crap which I've accumulated over the years. When was it the Yuuzhan Vong? Was this the New Republic? When they invaded the galaxy, I remember reading those books and Rogue Squadron and, you know, Admiral Darla, Pelion, Thrawn. You know, these are all characters which when I was in my teenage years and just so immersed in Star Wars alongside Warhammer 40K and girls, I just want to, you know, point that out. I just absorbed it. I was like a sponge. I just absorbed it. I had all of the books. I had all of the books. I just loved them. But I wasn't anguished by them saying, "Do you know what? That's because they're still there, and I can still enjoy them." And it, you know, I can appreciate Andor and the Mandalorian and the Book of Boba Fett. I can appreciate Mickey Mouse's version of Star Wars, and still have nostalgic love for what's now Legends. You know,
we're spending too much time on Star Wars, but you picked three things that that all sort of tiptoed around canon, if that makes sense, right? I don't think those changed a lot, right? Andor, Book of Boba Fett, Mandalorian, all of those things sort of grabbed outskirts and worked things in, whereas Star Wars took the best trilogy they had in the Thrawn series and made it all invalidated. That's what, in my head, that's what Games Workshop needs to try not to do. You just gave, we gave two examples. Don't invalidate the best stuff you got. That's what they did. The best thing they had was the Thrawn trilogy. And try to work stuff in that fits, that we can still, without too much mental gymnastics, say, okay, this works. This works with what we have. So that's the challenge for them, right? Is they have to try not to invalidate the best thing they have and try to work in stuff that is great and worthy of the IP and not throwing shit at the wall, like we said, while still not ruining everything.
All right. So using that example, and then I promise we'll stop the Star Wars thing because this isn't about Star Wars. And I'll tell you what, we'll do one about Star Wars again. It's fine.
That's great.
Andor hasn't invalidated the established canon of Star Wars. It has fleshed it out. Mm-hmm. It has breathed life into what happened leading up to the Battle of Yavin. It's given people so much more to look at. And Star Wars finishes now, okay? This is an opportunity for, with 40K, it's an opportunity for Games Workshop to do exactly the same thing, to flesh it out. But not just flesh it out, but to introduce it to a new audience, you know, to people who may never have heard of Warhammer 40K, or they've heard it mentioned in passing, and this looks interesting. Oh, it's on Amazon. It's a Monday night. I've finished work. I'm bored. You know, the kids are in bed. Let's see what this is about. And it's their opportunity to showcase the lore and get other people on board. And then hopefully those other people will say, I really like Warhammer 40K. I'm going to go and play some video games.
Yeah, I'm going to go check out this website that talks about all the stuff that's going to be on TV and movie before I play the video games. What's that website again?
Grimdarkfuture.tv.
Nice. The other thing I was going to say the other thing I was going to say was,
you're a shill.
You know, with the thing that I want to watch out for with these is we're making, I'm assuming they're going to have orcs on this show that they're making with Henry Cavill, the handsomest man in the world. I don't know. Did you see the Warcraft movie, however many years ago that was?
I think so. I thought that it was forgettable, and that's why I can only say I think so. Mm-hmm. I think I watched it and was like, But I was never into, and this is an interesting thing that you bring up here, because I was never into Warcraft. It's knights and goblins and orcs and things like that. It was never something which bothered me. Before World of Warcraft, it was Warcraft and Warcraft 2, Warcraft 3. And I was the Total Annihilation and Red Alert side of RTS games, not the Warcraft side of games.
So I played all the Warcraft RTSs and World of Warcraft for a while. Had a warglaive, no big deal. Al doesn't know what that is, but someone listening to the podcast will know. Had a warglaive in real time, no big deal. But anyways, I went to that movie and people talked about how great it was. I had such high expectations and everyone was actually really good. And then they trotted out these orcs and they looked so cartoony and stupid. And I immediately was like, well, I'm never going to see this movie again. Or I can never tell anybody I like this movie because these orcs look so cartoony and stupid. And that's what I feel like Games Workshop has to look out for, is you have to make stuff fit. Now, it's a grimdark. Hopefully it won't be that way. But, you know, I'm looking for something that's a little closer to the Tolkien vision of greenskins and less flashy, cartoony. I don't know if that makes sense. I mean, I want them to be the Games Workshop greenskins, but they can't be cartoony and terrible, or I'm going to just hate it.
It makes sense. We've got off on a tangent, so if you're still listening, if you've not switched off, thank you very much. Drop us a comment to say that you enjoyed listening to us talk about everything.
We didn't lose
rather
them.
Than just the, you know.
This is the good stuff.
We'll see. I'm sure there's maybe still 5 people listening now. If you are, come to our Discord. It's linked on the criticalmovespodcast.com page. Come to our Discord and tell us that you enjoyed me and Joe chatting shit about stuff. Bring it back to Warhammer games. Having played some of them, what do you think is the best way in terms of which game would you recommend people play in order to become immersed in this particular universe?
I think it depends on the person, but if they like any sort of Total War game, just jump into Total War Warhammer. And if they say to you, I don't like fantasy, I'm looking for something that's more traditional, they can go with the Empire, which is a more traditional faction, or Grand Cathay, or even the Dwarves. I know they won't look like humans, but they're a very traditional faction. You can go with those, and it's a great way for someone to just sort of like just sink their teeth in a little bit and just get started with the IP and see if they like it. And then once they're ready, they can give the greenskins a try, which look a little different, but they're fairly similar to a traditional faction, and then just keep going from there. And that would be the one I would suggest probably to start. What about you?
You've already mentioned it, Battle Sector. It's a very easy to learn turn-based game. It's got good lore aspects. It covers a lot of like the within 40K. There was a couple of editions ago, they introduced the Primaris Marines, which was like the next iteration of Space Marines. There's a huge lore thing about how they came about, but introduces them and the issues around embedding them in existing Space Marine chapters. So it gives you a flavor of the lore. It gives you a flavor of what the units are, a flavor of what the enemies are, the DLCs, which I need to check out. Remind me after this episode to see what's available.
I'm going to look too, because I don't have that game. I'm going to look when we're done.
If it's on sale, pick it up, because it is really good. It is really good. It's certainly, if it's on sale, it's a must buy, you know, just for 10, 20 hours worth of entertainment. It's definitely worthwhile. But for me, if someone's thinking, you know, I really fancy trying this Warhammer 40K or Warhammer in general universe, Battle Sector would be the way to go.
That worked. I said a fantasy and you said a 40K. We covered it.
Perfect.
What a team.
Game over. You know, it's finished. I'll finish on this, Joe, because I'm conscious of time. If you could have any Warhammer game made to your specifications, what would it be?
I think it would be so interesting to see a game. Like, have you played Battle Brothers or War Tales or heard of them? They're both turn-based games.
No.
They're a little bit... They're not. I wouldn't say they have bad graphics at all, but they're more indie. They're more indie games, right? And I would love to see a game. They're squad-based. You manage your troops. You pick their upgrades. You look for equipment for them and buy equipment for them. And then you go around taking missions, and there's a whole story that you follow with both these games. They're very similar. They just have different art style. I think one of those games in the Warhammer universe would be so interesting, where you're just, and again, I'm thinking fantasy. I'm thinking more fantasy. You're a general in, not a general, but like some sort of captain or lord in the Empire army. And you end up halfway across the world and you are now trying to make your way back, and you're recruiting a few soldiers as you go along. They might be from various races. You're fighting all these battles. You get involved in the greater world as a whole. And there's the game. And it's much more squad-based, much more turn-based, but smaller. Smaller than something like Total War Warhammer. This is just, you're talking about 20 guys max. And you're controlling each ones and you level them up, that sort of thing. I think that would be very fun. That's kind of my dream Warhammer game. Sound interesting to you?
Yes, and I'm going to maybe cause you to quit this, jump onto Warhammer Skulls, and make your first purchase. Have you heard of Mordheim City of the Damned?
I don't think so.
No? Mordheim City of the Damned is the first video game adaptation of Games Workshop's cult classic tabletop game, Mordheim. Set in the Warhammer world's decimated empire city of Mordheim, Mordheim City of the Damned is a turn-based tactical game where you lead war bands into bloody and lethal skirmishes. I think that the game that you want to see has been out for 10 years.
It looks close. Does it follow, like, do you stick with the same group of people the whole time?
I don't play Wizards, man. I don't play Warhammer Old World.
You're such an elitist.
Buy it. Find out. You know,
I'm going to look. Now what do I do? Do I do Mordheim or Battle Sector?
If they're on sale, get both.
We'll see. The reviews are pretty good. I'm looking at it as you've been talking. Although, actually, the last one I saw says it's a truly horrible implementation of an otherwise fantastic game. So, everybody else liked it, except for this one person.
And this is maybe something which happens with many fandoms, but Warhammer in particular. It is known to be very elitist. This is the reason why the games aren't hitting mainstream, because people aren't very welcoming.
Yeah.
This is somebody who has probably played Mordheim for decades, and then he's played this, and it just isn't the same. Well, it's not the same. I mean, come on. It's not the same. It's like comparing books and movies. It's the same story. It's a different medium. It's a different set of mechanics. It's a different way of presenting a game, and you can't compare them. So whoever that is, tell me the name. What's the name of the person who left that review?
Let me go to the back. APX Phil. APX Phil.
APX Phil.
Lots of L's.
APX Phil. If you're listening to this, you're a dickhead.
Try it again, Phil.
And an elitist.
Try it again, Phil.
Try again, Phil. Try again. And come and tell us that you enjoy it now. And you're not a beardy elitist.
Okay, tell me your game, Al. Do you have a game for me? And then let's get out of here. We're almost an hour.
Have you heard that there's rumors about them making 40K Total War?
Yeah.
I think we may have discussed it on one of our episodes previously. I would love to see that. I think something along the lines of a grand strategy, real-time game, 4X style. Along the lines of Stellaris.
I knew you were going to say that.
We've mentioned Stellaris. Let's piss off Tim and we won't mention that other game that gets mentioned every episode.
There's no reason.
So moving beyond that, I would love to see some sort of 4X grand strategy 40K game. Time period, I don't know. There's been a in recent lore, there's been the is it called the Maledictum or something? The galaxy's been split. The galaxy's been split into the Imperium. There's now two Imperiums, and I think coming off the back of that calamity, and then because of course it fractures the Imperium, which means that all these other empires can now rise up and they can start to assert their dominance. I think that a 4X game based upon then would just be perfect for me. So that's what I would like to see. And if not, we'll just have Total War 40K, please. And thank you very much, Creative Assembly. Thank you. Thank you.
Please. Please, sir. Please.
Please and thank you. Yeah. Any final thoughts from you, young man?
No. No, I think we covered it all.
I think we did. I've had fun, much more fun than I have when I'm talking to Nuno, who's a negative ninny. You are my new favorite co-host.
Thank you, sir. We should have picked more fights. People like it when we fight. Next time.
Yeah, you know, I'm a lover, not a fighter. You know, it's just the way it is. Joe, thank you very much for coming and taking some time out of your day to talk all about Warhammer strategy games, Warhammer video games. It's been appreciated, and a bit of Star Wars. It's quite appreciated. Love chatting to you. So thanks very much. For people listening, if you want to get involved in this conversation, then go to criticalmovespodcast.com. all of the links for our social media, for our Discord, for the forum, which I need to use a bit more, are on there. Come and join us. Come and chat to us. We're dead friendly. Unless you're APX Phil, then we're not.
Watch out, Phil.
Watch out, Phil. We're coming for you. Come and speak to us. Thanks very much, Joe. Thanks again. We've been Critical Moves.
Share it with your friends, everybody. Share the pod with your friends. Send it to your mom.
Thanks very much. Take it easy. Goodbye.